preached on this thought, truth from the tomb of Jesus. Truth from the tomb of Jesus. I want to spend a few moments at the tomb this morning. I won't spend long there because Jesus didn't spend long there. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning, please. Matthew 28, verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord ascended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Let's stop reading there. Father, I thank you this morning for the good word of God, for the songs of Zion. May the Lamb of God be praised for all of eternity. Father, would you help us now this morning to preach the word of God in the power and in the demonstration of your Holy Spirit. And for this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated this morning. Number one, there are some solemn truths from the tomb of Jesus. On the first day of the week, after the Sabbath, the women came unto the sepulcher. And no doubt those women, they were solemn as they walked down that pathway. All the things they hoped for, all the things they believed, all the things they had trusted had vanished before their very eyes. They were with as those that were without hope. I want to read a phrase out of Luke 24. Listen to this. We trusted it had been he which had redeemed us. And besides all this, this is the third day since those things have happened. Can you see them? Their hearts are broken. Their countenance is crushed. They're thinking of the happenings leading up to this moment. What happenings? Well, what about his suffering? Jesus, who's committed no sin. Jesus, the Son of God, who's done good to everyone. Jesus, our Redeemer, the Lamb of God, was arrested. He's accused. He's arraigned. He's beaten. He's scourged. He's bloodied with a crown of thorns. He's spat upon. He's humiliated. And he is shamed. He's mocked. He's sentenced to die. The Bible says they crucified him on a hill called Calvary between two thieves. They watched him and they heard him as he cried, "It is finished." And he gave up his life. What about the sepulcher? Joseph of Arimathea came to Pilate and begged the body of this man Jesus from Pilate. They took Jesus' body and wrapped it in linen cloths. His body was laid in a new tomb where no man had ever laid before. And a stone was rolled over the door of that tomb. And the Romans put a seal over it. And 16 Roman guards to keep watch and to protect that tomb. Those are solemn truths. Things that are very quiet. Things that are disturbing. Number two. There are startling truths from the tomb of Jesus. These women are sad. They're discouraged. They're defeated. They're filled with anxiety and fear. They're without hope. But now they're startled. Behold, there was a great earthquake. I wrote down the words, awesome wonder. The women are concerned. When we get to the tomb, how will we roll the stone away? God said, I got that one. He sent an angel and rolled the stone away by a great earthquake that the Lord sent. That stone was an exclamation point at the end of a death sentence. Say amen. It looked like he is gone forever. And suddenly, a great earthquake. Hear me for a minute. A trip to Calvary will shake you up. There's an angelic witness. As that stone is rolled away, the Bible says in verse 2 that the angel sat up on top of that stone. Can you just see him as he sat there and watched? Death and life are about to have a headlong collision, and death is going to be defeated, and life is going to win the great victory for all of eternity. There, you're going to have light and darkness have a head-on collision, and light is going to win out, and darkness is going to be defeated. The Bible says of this angelic witness, his countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. I thank the angel. When he sat down, he that was busy sat down to rest, said, my job's done. Let's see what's going to happen. Verse 4, there's some astonished wardens. The Bible said, for fear of him, the keepers, there's 16 of them, 4 quaternions of soldiers, 16 men of the Roman Praetorian Guard, Pilate and the Roman Emperor's very own guard. They began to shake and they became as dead men. At the sight of the angel, at the great earthquake, and the stone being rolled away. And don't you know those boys? Those boys saw in that tomb that Jesus wasn't there. You see, the stone wasn't rolled away so Jesus could get out. The stone was rolled away so that we could see in. Where did Jesus go? He's alive. He got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Those are startling truths, awesome wonders, angelic witnesses, astonished wardens. Number 3, there are some stunning truths from the tomb of Jesus. The angel has a message. These women are startled at what they've seen. And the angel, verse 5 says, fear not ye. It's a message of peace. The fear that the women felt seeing an angel, but the first words are words of peace. His resurrection from the dead is still bringing that same message. Peace, peace, peace be unto you. It fills the hearts of all believers. It's a message of peace. It's also a message of power. He says, I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. It speaks of the past. He was in the past tense. He was crucified. The women remember his sufferings and the beating. They remember the agony and the pain. They remember the devastation and the bloodshed of the crucifixion. He was crucified. But it also spoke of the present. He is not here. You know, that angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? You've come to the graveyard. You've come to the cemetery. But that's not where the living Savior is. He is risen. Jesus is going to be going to the mercy seat. And he's going to sprinkle his blood on the mercy seat that has accomplished and has atoned for our sins. And I thank God for that. The Bible says it's not only spoken of the past and of the present, but what about the promise? For he is risen as he said. He taught his disciples that he'd be crucified and he'd be raised again on the first day of the week. After 3 days, I'll be raised back in the newness of life. He taught them and taught them and taught them. How many times do we hear things? We don't believe. We don't understand. I mean, here I am, the age I am now, and I wish that I understood years ago the things I understand now. Things back then I didn't get, I didn't understand, and he's still working on me. There are things I don't understand, and every day he enlightens me and shows me something new, and he is good. And I am thankful this morning for the goodness of God. Jesus said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it back up again. A message of promise. Look with me, and look at verse number 6. He is not here, for he is risen, as he says. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Ooh-wee. A message of proof. Now think with me. They'll never forget the place called Calvary where Jesus was crucified, and now where that cross was, there's a garden just to the right side of it. And in that garden is a tomb where Jesus' body was laid. They'll never forget the place at that borrowed tomb where Jesus arose and where death was conquered. Most tombs, now think about it, tombs are places of great sorrow. It's a place where they felt the curse. But instead, they've come to a tomb and they found comfort. For most people, this morning, we had a sunrise service. It was up in the graveyard. Many times, people come to those graves to visit family members, loved ones, friends, acquaintances. They come to visit them. That's why they come to a graveyard. But this morning, we went to a graveyard not because of who was there. We went because of who's not there. Jesus is alive and well. You see, a tomb is normally a stopping place. It's a place where we finish. It's a place where it's the end of life. It's a place where all movement has ceased. But there's something about the tomb of Jesus. There's a lot of going. There's a lot of coming forth. The Bible says in verse 6, He is risen. In verse 7, the Bible says, He goeth before you. He's supposed to be dead, but He's alive. There's much activity in a place where there should be no activity. This is what I want to say. The tomb did not stop the work of God. There was a man who had lived a wicked life, and years of living that way, under conviction, he finally got saved. He had a huge family. And man, he would stand up and testify in the church and beg the preacher and the congregation to pray for his family, that they were lost and that they were blinded and they needed to be saved, that God would roll the stone away and let them see truth in their life, some hidden causes being removed. And one day he was going to see his family members. And this is what happened. Burdened about him. He stood up in his church and he said, "Preacher, I hope they get this on tape." He said, "If they, my family hears that I'm dead, don't believe it. I'm very much alive. In fact, when I'm dead here, I'll be more alive there than I ever was here. And I pray that my family will come to Jesus and get saved and come spend eternity with me in heaven." And he testified in the congregation that day, and they did get it on tape. That man, a few weeks later, was going back up in the hollers to go see some of his family. And he had a heart attack while he was driving, and his car just veered off the road and came to a stop. And there he was, slumped over. Somebody came across him and found him, called his wife. She said, "Oh," she was broken, "he was going to visit y'all. He was going to tell y'all about Jesus. He was going to knock on every one of your doors." They had the visitation. They had his body laying down front. The preacher got up and said, "He told me to play this at his funeral." And they hit play on the soundboard back there. And he said, "If my family's listening, when you hear this, I want you to know, when they tell you I'm dead, don't believe it. I'm very much alive. I'm more alive now than I ever was when I was on earth with you. And if you ever want to come to heaven, you're going to have to go the same way through Jesus that I went." I want you to tell you, revival broke out in his family. Revival broke out in his church. Did you know that over 7 weeks, 81 people got saved in that community because one man who died had a burden for his family? Honey, when death comes, the word of God does not stop. So the tomb is normally a stopping place. The tomb is normally a silent place. When you go up here to the graveyard, you're not expecting to talk to anybody. I mean, but when those ladies get there, there's an angel who's rolled the stone away, sitting on top of the stone. Think about it. When they looked in there, the angel said, "Fear not ye." You're not supposed to hear voices in the middle of a graveyard. But I want to say that the silent place was no longer silent because Jesus was alive and well. A tomb is normally a settled place. When you go to the graveyard, you don't expect any surprises. At least I don't want to find any. Well, when they got there, I mean, think about it. When they got there, they found the stone moved. They found the seal marred. They found the soldiers mortified. They found the Savior's might victorious over death, hell, and the grave. The tomb is normally a somber place. When you go to the tomb, to the graveyard, you're usually weeping. You're sorrowful. You are shedding tears. Typically, you go to the graveyard sad, and you leave sadder. But at that place, there's no sorrow there. They left with sheer joy. Verse 8, they departed from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. Can I read verse 9? Would that tear y'all up if I read verse 9? Let's read verse 9 of this chapter. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. Look at that word. What does that mean? It means hello. Imagine going to a somber place and a silent place, a place of sadness, and Jesus says, hello. This is what it really means in the old English. This is what it means. Oh, joy. It's a joy to see you. Good to have you today. Good to see y'all today. What are y'all doing here? Hallelujah. Oh, joy. Praise God for it. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Hey, the tomb is normally a separating place. It separates you from your loved one who has died. But at this tomb, there's a precious reunion. They're rejoicing in his presence. Death has been conquered. Darkness has been vanquished. Death has been defeated. Jesus met them and they worshiped him there. The angel gave them a message to proclaim. He says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. They were commanded to depart. They said, don't stay in this graveyard. Don't stay in this cemetery. You need to leave this place. Do not linger without delay. You get out. Go quickly. Tell everybody you know Jesus is alive. I dare you today. I challenge you as a congregation. When you leave here today, find somebody where you go to eat, somebody in the family. I dare you say, oh joy, Jesus is alive. Some of them will look at you like, you're weird, man. And I'm telling you something. The greatest news I have to tell you is that Jesus, who gave his life for you, is very much alive. He is risen from the dead. Hey, hallelujah. Here's a command to depart. It's also a command to deliver. He says, go quickly and tell his disciples. It means share the good news to others. Hey, choir, I appreciate y'all practicing. It showed itself this morning that y'all been practicing. But if you'd have just stayed here and never got to share it with everybody else, it'd still been good. But it's even better when you get to share it. And I'm telling you, the message that Jesus saves, it's worth sharing. Share it. Tell it to the young. Tell it to the old. Tell it to the anxious. Tell it to the aged. Tell it to the apathetic. Tell it to the addict. Tell it to the adulterer. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Our job is to go tell a lost and dying world that Jesus saves. You know what? When you tell it, the distressed are comforted. These people, these women, they're filled with fear. The word here is phobio, which means frightened. It's to be alarmed. It's to be sore afraid. But guess what? They came in distressed and they left comforted. Have you ever come to church distressed? Have you ever went to work distressed? Have you ever went to bed distressed? Have you ever got up distressed? Where you dreaded and feared. And man, you knew you was facing some consequences. But aren't you glad because of Jesus, he comforts us in all of our distresses? What would you have done without Jesus? After what you just went through, what would you have done without him? Woo! Death is conquered. He's not here. He's risen, as he said. The disciples are commanded through his resurrection. Now, the Bible says, look with me in verse number 7. Behold, he goeth before you in the Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. He goeth before you. I want to say this. I'm almost done. Jesus precedes us. He goes before us. He's a way maker. He's a chain breaker. He's gone before us to prepare a way. He's there to guide you. He's there to lead you. He's there to instruct you. He'll make a way, honey, when there is no other way. Jesus has gone before us. And I want to say this too. Jesus, not only has he gone before us, but honey, he's there to prepare for us. Now I want to say this and I'm done. Jesus makes things that are dead come to life. I don't care what you face today. If Jesus can conquer death, and he did, he can conquer your problem. He can the problems in your marriage, he can conquer them. The problems in your family, he can conquer them. The problem with your sister, the problem with your brother, he can conquer them. The problem that you have on the job, he can conquer them. Hey, all the doubts, all the fears, all the problems, he's able to conquer them all. There's a lady by the name of Edith Burns. Her husband was dead. She was a good Christian widow. Everywhere she'd go, she'd say, "Hello, my name is Edith Burns. Do you believe in Easter?" And she'd take that segue to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection, and his life-changing, his life-altering power. And this woman, she led many people to saving faith in Christ. And one day, with great sorrow on his face, Dr. Phillips looked at Edith Burns and said, "The test results have revealed that you have aggressive cancer and you're not going to live very much longer." And here's her response. "Don't be sad, Dr. Phillips. Do you think God makes any mistakes? You've just told me that I'm going to die. That means I'm going to see my precious Savior. I'm going to meet my husband. I'm going to see my friends. You've told me that I'm going to a place where I will celebrate Easter forever and ever and ever. And you are having problems, difficulties, delivering to me that my ticket is about to be awarded. I'm excited." And he said to himself, "What a magnificent Christian that Miss Edith Burns is, because I gave her the worst news that any doctor has to tell a patient that he cares for, and she made my job easy." Within a few weeks, sure enough, the cancer had become so bad and aggressive that she had to be put in the hospital. And as she was hospitalized, she said, "Dr. Phillips, can you make sure that I am not in a private room? I want to be in a room where there are other non-Christian roommates so I can tell them about the true meaning of Easter." And he did all he could to find some of the most hard-hearted people that he had to put them in a room with Miss Edith Burns. And several women left the hospital converted to Christians. There were unsaved nurses that got saved. There were orderlies that got saved. Many made decisions to follow Jesus Christ because of Edith's witness. In fact, pretty much everybody on her floor that wasn't saved got saved, except one woman. Her name was Phyllis Cross. That's a good name for her. She was mean. She was an army nurse. She was labeled G.I. Jane. She had been through it all. She's heard it all. She's austere. She's difficult. She's cold-hearted. Every time that she came in the room, Edith would just try to even talk to her. She'd cut her off. She said, "Phyllis, God loves you, and I love you. I've been praying for you." Phyllis said, "You quit praying for me. It won't work. I am not interested." Edith said, "Well, I've prayed, and I've asked God not to let me go to home to heaven until you personally come into the family and get saved." and Phyllis Cross snapped, then you're never going to die because it will never, ever happen. And she turned and marched out of that room. Every day, when Phyllis Cross walked into Edith's room, Edith would smile and say, "Hello, Phyllis. God loves you. I love you too. And I'm praying for you." After weeks of this, 2-3 weeks, finally Phyllis's heart becomes warmed by Miss Edith, and she starts beginning to care for her. And gradually, they became friends. And one day, Phyllis, walking down the hospital hall, felt compelled to go into Miss Edith's room. She sat down on the side of the bed, and she said, "Edith, I have a question. Everybody else on this floor has told me that you have shared with them about Easter, but you've never asked me, do I believe in Easter?" She said, "I've wanted to many times, Phyllis, but God told me to wait until you asked me, and you just did. So here goes." And she started telling her about Jesus. And her friend, Phyllis Cross, bowed her head and called on Jesus and got gloriously born again. You see, there's no tomb he can't conquer. There's no death he can't overcome. There's no problem, no person too cold, too callous that Jesus Christ can't help. I thank God for that. A few days later, it was Easter Sunday morning. Phyllis went into Edith's room to bring her some flowers, some Easter lilies, and she found her dead. She had her big black Bible open with a smile on her face. And as she had her Bible open, she had her thumb in one passage and her Bible open to another. And so Phyllis Cross got her Bible and it was turned to John 14, where it said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That blessed her. So she took her hand away from the Bible, and she flipped it open to where her thumb was inserted. Revelations 21. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Phyllis, she took one look at Edith's dead body. She lifted her face upward, tears in her eyes, and she said, "Happy Easter, Edith. Happy Easter." She walked out of her room. She walked down where some student nurses were standing, and she walked up to them and she said, "Hello, my name is Phyllis Cross. Do you believe in Easter?" That's what God wants you and I to do. I mean, I thought, what a name for that woman, Phyllis Cross, as ill as she was. But in the long run, the time she got saved, what a perfect name. Phyllis points you to the cross. Amen. Hear me, church. Our job is to go tell a lost and dying world about a Jesus who can conquer any difficulty, any problem, and can save the hardest soul. He saved my soul. A young man filled with unbelief and doubt. A young man filled with religion. And he forgave me. And he saved me. And he changed my whole blessed world. And now I tell you today, my name is Preacher Darren Waldrop. Do you believe in Easter? Those are just a few truths from the tomb of Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning? Maybe there might be somebody here. You run to the altar, say, "Pastor Darren, I want to thank God on Easter Sunday in the altar down there at Bethel." That may be the place you got saved. It might be a place you could come thank Him for saving your soul. And if you're here today and you don't know, I mean just yesterday, 20, 30 souls saved. And maybe you're here today and say, "Pastor Darren, man, the times are getting wicked outside. And Jesus is coming. I want to go meet Him." I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm asking you to slip up your hand and say, "Pastor, you can be saved right in your pew where you are, for all I care. But you just needed to be a preacher. I'm a sinner and I want to be saved. Just last week, God saved another one here. Is there somebody? Say, Pastor Darren, it's me. It's me, Pastor Darren. I want to be saved. Is there anybody? Oh, what a day to be saved. Think about Edith Burns going home to heaven on Easter Sunday after all those years testifying. Is there anybody here say, Pastor Darren, I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. I raised my hand. Maybe you're at home watching online. Maybe there's somebody here today say, Pastor Darren, I've got a loved one that's on my heart. I want to raise my hand. You got somebody? Yeah, hands are going up. Hands going up. Oh, Preacher Darren, I pray that God would conquer sin in their life. Lord, we're asking you this morning, God, would you continue to save? Would you continue to draw? Would you continue to help us lift up the name of Jesus so that people can hear and be saved? Lord, I pray for this congregation today. God, I pray that not one of them, not one of them would have to die and go to a devil's hell. But that, Lord, they're saved and they live for you. And Paul, they pray and seek your face and they go quickly and they tell others that Jesus is risen. Oh, Lord, would you help us to become an effective witness? Thank you, Father, for allowing us the opportunity today to be in the house of God. Lord, we thank you for saving our souls. We thank you, God, for the love that you've given to us. And we thank you, Father, that God, we have a new life, eternal life, a life of victory, a life, Father, of triumph. God, help us, Father, to live it for your glory. We give you praise and thanks on this Easter day for your Son, Jesus Christ, and his victory and conquering death. And for this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen.